So good to be with you all again this morning. Linda and I retired 7 years ago after 22 years of being pastor of this church, and we've just completed now, the 1st of October, our 6th interim pastorate. And the chairman of deacons up there said when he they had a farewell for us, said, you know, when you look at his resume, he hasn't been able to keep a job in the last 7 years. And so we've been off for now about 6 weeks, and next Sunday we're going to another church as a possible interim pastor, and so we anticipate being gone a year in that situation if that works out. But we're always glad to be back here, and I'm always amazed when I come back at how many new people are here that I don't know, and young couples and so forth, and what a blessing that is to see. Also, I have a little bit of fear and trepidation when I come back and preach, because I've discovered that when you're retired after several years, people have forgotten all the bad things and just remember good things. And you become a legend in your own mind. And so I'm always fearful that I'm going to bomb out. And those that were here before will say, why did we keep him 22 years? And those that weren't here will say, why was he ever here? And so this morning, I don't want to bomb out. And this morning is going to be a sermon and kind of a seminar. And it's going to require you all to participate. Now, if you don't participate, I'm going to bomb out. And so I'll have to go out the side door here. So I'm going to need you to help me and participate this morning. And this is going to be a very simple message, Bible 101, an introduction to Bible 101. Vince Lombardi was considered the greatest football coach of all times by many people. And it is said that every year at the beginning of football season, he would gather the football team together, and he would come in, and he would hold up a football, and he would say to them, this is a football. And then he would take them outside to the football field, and he would say, now, this is the sideline over here, and this is the sideline over here, and if you go over the sidelines, you're out of bounds. And then he would take them to the end of the football field on both ends and say to them, this is the end zone. And the object of football is to get the football to the end zone. And every year, at the beginning of the year, the first session, he would go over those basics with them. Well, this morning, we're going to do the same thing. And so, I want to say to you, this is a Bible. This is a Bible. How many of you have your Bibles this morning? Would you hold them up? This is a Bible. I'm glad to see that. Now, the reason I'm preaching this message this morning is because about a month ago, I read a brief paragraph or two about a new book that's come out about a man who has researched by going into a multitude of churches across the nation and by going into a variety of seminaries. And what he found out is that in many churches, perhaps most churches, the Bible is not being taught or preached. Now, I'm so glad that's not true in this church, because our pastor knows the Bible as good as any pastor I've ever seen. And week after week, he feeds the Bible to us. I know that in many seminaries, it's not true now in our Southern Baptist seminaries, but it was 25 years ago. The Bible was not being taught. And also know that many people who sit in our churches really do not have a knowledge of the Bible. They do not understand the Bible. And survey after survey has indicated that. And we don't need much, we don't need to look around a whole lot to know how that is. We could take, for example, our president-elect, who on occasion held up a Bible and talked about how much the Bible meant to him. But when he was asked a question, what's your favorite Bible verse? He stumbled around trying to think about a verse. And when he went to Liberty University to speak to the students there, he tried to impress them with his Bible knowledge, and so he quoted a verse of Scripture that somebody had given him, and he quoted it as being from 2 Corinthians. And the audience responded to him just like you've responded, if you hadn't heard that. Those students snickered and laughed. Now, who refers to it as 2 Corinthians? Now, actually, he's right, but you usually refer to it as 2 Corinthians, don't we? Or 2 Timothy, or 2 Samuel, or 2 Kings. And when he was confronted about that, he said, well, many people refer to it that way. Now, folks, there's just a lack of knowledge in our churches about the Bible. So this morning, I'm going to give you a Bible seminar in Bible 101. Now, many of you will say, well, I learned that, Pastor, in Vacation Bible School. And I did, too. But I'm not sure what's being taught in all of our churches now. And for those of us who are older, if you're my age, I've discovered that I'm starting to forget things. And so I may have forgotten some of what I heard in Vacation Bible School. I'm forgetting things. I walked out of the house the other day. I started out of the house, and I got to the door, and I thought, oh, I forgot this. And I went back. I don't even remember what it was I forgot now. But I forgot something, so I went back in, and I got it. And I started back, and I got to the door the second time, and I thought, oh, I forgot this. I started out, went back, and got what I needed, and started out the door for the third time. The third time I got to the door and looked down and thought, you know, I might ought to put on some shoes. So some of you have forgotten some of these basic things, okay? So this morning it's Bible 101, an introduction. And I want you to turn to your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This is a verse that many of us memorize. Some of you that are old enough to know the old training union in Southern Baptist churches. This was the key verse, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. The King James Version translates that, who rightly divides the word of truth, the Bible. Now look over in the next chapter, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And he learned it from his mother and grandmother. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right, let's go into Bible 101 this morning. You know, the reason many people don't understand the Bible is because they've never been taught how to read the Bible and how to study the Bible. And, you know, so people, this happens all the time. They have a problem, so they know that the Bible is supposed to be some kind of a special book. So they get the Bible, they open it up and say, I need to find something here, and they just open it up and read whatever it is. And they open it up to Leviticus. Start reading there, and you might have problems. Or they know that there's a book in the Bible called Revelation that's really interesting. And so they open it up to the book of Revelation. And they have no idea the structure. So, you know, if you know the structure. Now, the Bible in some ways is like a jigsaw puzzle. If you've ever put together a jigsaw puzzle, I asked my wife this the other day just to make sure I was on the right track. And I said, if you were doing a jigsaw puzzle, what would you do first? She said, the corners. The corners. And then you'd do the outside framework of the puzzle, wouldn't you? How many of you do a puzzle that way? All right? You're pretty smart. We're all together, aren't we? The rest of you, I'm sorry. Okay? You build the framework. The framework to start that. Well, let's build the framework of the Bible. What's the structure of the Bible? Here's where you're going to come in and help me. The Bible is in two parts. Most of you know this. There's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. Now, so many people say, well, you know, I don't like the Old Testament. Let me tell you something. You ought to like the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is the foundation for the New Testament. And when you study the New Testament, you'll find out that it refers back to the Old Testament so much. So we're going to make this bottom floor here represent the Old Testament. And these side sections in there, the New Testament, okay? So this is the Old Testament. You all down here are the Old Testament, okay? Now, the Old Testament has four parts to the Old Testament. The first part, that's this group right over here. The first part of the Old Testament is the law. Can you say that? The law. The law. Five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Five books of the law. Genesis is the most well-known of those books. The second part of the Old Testament are books that we call history books. Right here. You all are? Okay, you're awake now. Good. We've got what? And history. And then the third part of the Old Testament is wisdom literature. Wisdom, right here. You are what?
Wisdom.
Now, I told my wife what I was going to do this morning, that I was going to have participation. She said, are you going to make us talk? And I said, yes. She said, what are you going to have us do? She said, what am I going to say? Am I going to say something? I said, yes, because I know where we sit when we come in here. We sit right here. So I said to her, you are going to be history. Okay? I didn't mean it that way. And then our granddaughter was with us, Sarah. And Sarah always sits over here. And she said, well, what is Sarah going to be? I said, Sarah's going to be wisdom. And Linda said, well, I don't want to be history. I want to be wisdom. I said, too bad. You're history. Okay? And so now Sarah's back here this morning, and so she's history too. Okay? So we've got what here? We got what here? We got what here? And then the last part of the Old Testament are the books that we call prophetic books, the prophets. So you all are prophets. Prophets. Now let me tell you something you may not have known, even though you learned all this in Bible school, that the Jewish people only had three divisions in the Old Testament instead of four, and they put these two, history and wisdom, together, and they called them the writings. Okay? So for the Jewish, there was the law, there were the writings, and there were the prophets. Now that's the Old Testament. Now from the Old Testament, this is God's leading up to the time of Jesus. The New Testament comes and Jesus comes along. And we have five divisions in the New Testament, okay? And so we're going to start over here with these folks, and you all are going to be the Gospels. How many Gospels are there? Four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the story of the life of Jesus, His birth, His life, His ministry, His death, His resurrection. You all are Gospels. Then we move right up here, right to this section, right over here. You all up there, the upper day saints, okay? And there's one book in the New Testament of history. Do you know what it is? The book of Acts. So you all are history, okay? And it's interesting, in the book of Acts, there are 28 chapters of the book of Acts that talk about the church and the birth of the church and the growth of the church. But when you come to the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, it does not really have a conclusion. You know why that's true? Because we are in the book of Acts right now. And we will be till Jesus comes back. And so Acts doesn't have an ending. There's no end. And that's why several years ago a group formed a church planting group that they called Acts 29. Took me a little while to figure out why they called it that, but they called it that because they were saying the church continues to grow and to expand and to reach people, and Acts 28 is not the end of the church. So we've got the, and we've got the history Acts. Now let's come over here to this group over here, and we've got some letters. They're called the letters of Paul. Sometimes they're referred to as epistles. So the letters of Paul make up about half of the New Testament. So you all are Paul's. Are you awake? Come on now. Don't make me bomb out. You all are. Oh, much, much better. Okay. And then we come to this group over here. And there's another group of letters that Paul didn't write. There were different people that wrote those letters. And they're called general epistles or general letters. Peter wrote a couple of them, and James, and John wrote three of them, and Jude, and Hebrews. And so they're general letters. And so that leaves us with one book left. So we've got what over here? We've got what here? History, Acts. We've got what here? And we've got what here? General letters. What's left? Revelation. And what kind of book is Revelation? Prophetic, a prophet. So since we've run out of things here, I'll be Revelation, okay? I'll be prophecy. Now, that's the structure of the Bible. The Old Testament, leading up to the time of Jesus, from the beginning of creation. And then the New Testament, from the time of Jesus on until the end of times. That's the structure of the Bible. Very simply. Most of you knew that, but we needed to be reminded of it. Now, let's go on to something else. Second thing, what's the subject of the Bible? And like a jigsaw puzzle, if you started a jigsaw puzzle, this one happens to have 300 large pieces. I just threw them out here. And if you didn't know the picture that was on here, would it be more difficult to put that puzzle together? If you've got the picture, is it easier to put that puzzle together? Absolutely. Well, the subject of the Bible is the picture. If you know the picture, you can begin to put the Bible together much, much easier. So what is the subject of the Bible? There are two things I would suggest to you, and they dovetail, they correlate one-on-one. The subject of the Bible is Jesus. It's Jesus. From beginning to end, Genesis 1 to the last verse in Revelation. You remember after the resurrection, Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus. The disciples, some of them have heard that he's been resurrected. They don't understand it. They're all wondering what's going on. He meets a couple of men. They do not know who he is. They're all in a buzz about what's happened in the last 3 or 4 days. Jesus was crucified. He was buried. Now they hear that he's resurrected. They're talking about all this. They don't understand it. Jesus walks with them for a while and talks with them and lets them go on for a while. And pretty soon he does something. He opens their eyes. And how does he do that? Luke chapter 24, 27. He begins to tell them the scriptures, and listen to this. Beginning at Moses, which is what? The law. Beginning with the law and continuing with the prophets. And then it says, he interpreted to them from all of the scripture, which is the Old Testament, that which concerned him. Now think about that. You think the Old Testament is not important? Jesus, beginning with Genesis, the law, and the prophets, and all of the scripture, interpreted to them the Old Testament scriptures about himself. Wow. Now, let me give you a little illustration. Genesis chapter 1:1. What's it say? In the beginning, God created. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and by Him everything was made. Now look at that. Genesis 1:1, John 1:1. What's it talking about? Jesus. Jesus is the subject of the Bible. And then you could move all the way through. If we had time, we could go through all the things here in the law, for instance. That book of Leviticus that you laughed at when I said if you opened it up and start reading it, you wouldn't read very long until you go, oh my. Why? Because it's filled with all things about the sacrifices and the priest and what they were. You see? That's in the law, right? Leviticus, the law. What happens? Come over here to the general epistles and you've got the book of Hebrews. And what is Hebrews? It is a commentary on the book of Leviticus. And the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus is the great high priest that Leviticus talks about. The sacrifices that the priest offered in the Old Testament that only covered up sin but did not take it away. Jesus is the one sacrifice that takes it away. So you see, all the Bible's about Jesus. You come to the very end of the Bible, that prophetic book of Revelation, and you have a picture of Jesus in glory, resurrected, and you read these words where he says, I am Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Genesis and I am the Revelation. You see? Wow. What's the subject of the Bible? Jesus. Now, let me give you a connection with that. Jesus and the plan of redemption. The plan of redemption. I want you to take your Bibles and hold them up, and I want you to do something. I want you to just find Genesis 1 and 2. Just kind of separate it there. And then I want you to go over and find Revelation chapter 21 and 22. And kind of hold it. 21 and 22. And I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created the heavens and the earth. God created man, created everything there was. And he said, it is good, it's very good. But in Genesis chapter 3, something happened. What happened? Sin. The fall. And suddenly everything wasn't good. Things were messed up with that. Paul says, by Adam. One man, Adam, sin came into the world. And because of that sin, death came in. And so you've got two chapters of God's creation like he intended it. And then chapter 3, everything is messed up. Chip and Karen Holmes are here this morning. Where are they? Oh, they're right here. Bless their hearts. They live in South Dakota. Karen's been wanting me to come up to South Dakota in January and February. They've got 5 inches of snow. She's crazy. Sorry, Karen. I want to go to a place that's more like paradise, you know, like Hawaii. You know, you think Hawaii's paradise? Watch Hawaii 5-0. The old version or the new version? It doesn't make any difference. You'll find out that even Hawaii is not paradise. You know why? Because you and I are living in Genesis chapter 3, and we don't get out of Genesis chapter 3 until Revelation 21. I want you to think about that. Revelation 21, God makes a new heaven and a new earth. But until that time, we're living under the fall and under the curse. We're living with sickness. We're living with death. We're living with tribulation. We're living with problems. We're living with trials. Because we're living under the curse. We're in the fall. And so in all of the Bible, we're living from Genesis 3 to Revelation chapter 20. You see. And what's the Bible about? It's God's plan of redemption to get us out of Genesis 3 and to get us in to Revelation 21 and 22. What's the purpose of this book? Or what's the subject? Jesus and the plan of redemption. Look now real quick at the purpose of the book. Three purposes. Paul tells us about them in the verses that we read in 2 Timothy. There are three purposes. Number one, this book is to teach us how to get saved. How to get saved. The Bible says that we're all sinners. All of us, every one of us, we're sinners. We're sinners. We've sinned not against each other, we've sinned against a holy God. And we deserve, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. And the truth of the matter is we're all going to die physically if Jesus doesn't come back. But there's more death than that. There's an eternal death, which is a separation from God for all of eternity. Eternal death, you see. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to cease to exist. We're going to continue to exist. But if you're not saved, you're going to exist apart from God for all of eternity. And the Bible calls that hell. And the purpose of this book is to teach us how to be saved. And how do we get saved? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible teaches that if we confess our sins and admit that we're sinners and believe in our heart that Jesus died to save us, that He's the Son of God, and that He came into this world to save us by paying the price for our sins on the cross, and we trust in that, we can be saved. I want to ask you this morning, are you saved? Have you trusted in Jesus to save you? This book is meant to help you to get saved, to lead you to be saved. I want to stop right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm not through, but I want to stop right now. And I want you to bow your heads. Close your eyes, and I want to ask you, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that if you died right now, that you would step into eternity to be with Jesus in heaven? Do you know that? Has there been a time in your life when you asked Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sins and save you? Do you know that? And if you've never done that, right where you are, right now, in the midst of this service, right where you are, you could pray. You don't have to pray out loud. You can pray quietly in your heart and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I invite Jesus to come into my life, to be my Savior. And I want to live for Him from now on. In His name I pray. Amen. I want you to look this way, because I hope, I know that in a congregation this size, there are some people here who've never trusted in Jesus. And the most important thing that happens today is for you to trust in Jesus. That's what this book is all about. That's why Jesus came. If you miss that, you miss everything. And so if you did that this morning, the Bible says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we want to help you. In a few moments, we're going to give an invitation, and we'd like to invite you to come down here and take one of the pastors by the hand and say, you know, I just prayed that prayer while Pastor Shepherd talked about that, and we'll encourage you and pray with you and help you to grow, okay? But if we don't do anything else, we've done the most important thing, and that is to help you to know that you need to be saved. And hopefully there are those of you who did that this morning. Now let me move on real quick. I've got just a few minutes. The purpose of this book is to teach us how to be saved. The second purpose of this book is to instruct us once we are saved. You can't do this part till you get saved. But to instruct us in how to live a godly life. God doesn't just want to save us to go to heaven. He wants to save us so that we can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus right here and become mature believers. And Paul talks about that God gave us the Scriptures that we might become perfect. Now the word perfect does not mean that we will be sinless in this life, but it means that we will grow to completion of what God wants us to be. And so the purpose of this is the instruction manual for life. This is the instruction manual for life. I went to my doctor this week and had a physical, and we talked about some of the medicine that I take, and some of it's not working as well as I ought to. And he said, are you doing this with it? I said, well, no. And he said, have you read the instructions? And I said, no. I hate reading instructions. He said, well, read the instructions. Folks, this is God's instruction book on how to live a godly life. You know. And if you don't read the instruction book, you're going to mess up. So this book is to instruct us in how to live godly living. And number three, it is to equip us for service. Paul says, you've known the scriptures from infancy, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And they are able to make you perfect. And they are able to equip you for every good work that the Lord has for you. So this book is meant to help equip us to do what God wants us to do in service for Him. Now, real quickly, let's move to the last part. What's our response to the Bible? You have a Bible. There's so many Bibles. Y'all brought your Bibles. I'm glad. And the reason I'm glad for that is because, you know, now we put all the Scripture verses up on the screen, and we can be lazy and not open our Bibles and not bring in our Bibles. I was sitting in Sunday school class here 2 or 3 weeks ago. Roger was teaching the class in Peter, 1st or 2nd Peter. And I looked down and saw at the bottom of my Bible, there are Scripture verses that this passage will refer to. I saw that in Peter, he referred to Proverbs 3 times. I thought, wow, Peter. Let's see, where's Peter? He's over here. General epistles. Where did he refer to? Over here to wisdom 3 times. I started flipping through 1 Peter there, 2 Peter at the bottom of the page, see what other scriptures referred to. Isaiah, prophets, Psalms, wisdom literature. Leviticus, Peter referred to Leviticus. The what? The law. So, you know, I wouldn't have realized that had I not had my Bible that day. So I kind of tuned Roger out and just kind of did my own Bible study. Sorry, Roger. Okay. So our response to the Bible, here it is. Number one, study it. Study it. Don't just read it. Study it. Study it. Study, Paul says, to show yourself approved. Number two, biggie, rightly divide. What does that mean? It means to take the Scriptures and interpret them in the way in which they were intended to be interpreted and divide them up. This is the law. It has a special place. Okay, the Gospels have a special place. Now, let me give an illustration of that real quick. That's a big problem in our day. You turn on the radio or the TV, you turn on the TV especially, and you see all these television preachers, and many of them are what we call health and wealth, prosperity. Name it and claim it. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, Lord. I went the other day. It's been a year ago. I went shopping for a car. Man, I found a car that I just... Oh, it was so beautiful. It was a Cadillac CTS. It was red. It had a moonroof. It had one of those little things in the center that's a computer-type thing, you know. I got that thing out, and I drove it, and I said, this is me. I would look so good driving up to my interim pastorate in this car. Lord, I claim it. That's what these guys preach. I want to tell you something. They're not rightly dividing the word of truth. If you listen to that name it and claim it, prosperity, gospel, health, and wealth stuff, stop it. They're not rightly dividing. Oh, God wants everybody to be healed. Listen, I'm leaving this service this morning, and immediately afterwards, Linda and I are driving to Kansas, where my 91-year-old mother is near the point of death. And I've dealt with this many times, and people say, oh, God, heal. Listen, at 91, why do we pray so hard to keep people out of heaven who are ready to go on into heaven? I gave my doctor a health directive this week. If I'm unconscious and can't come back and enjoy life, don't put those tubes in me. Take them out. Let me go on to heaven. You know, then I'll be healed. That's health. That's wealth. I'll get my new home up there. Maybe I'll have a Cadillac. You still with me? Health and wealth, prosperity, name it and claim it. It's not biblical. They're not rightly dividing the word of truth. Number three, meditate. You know what meditate means? It's about lunchtime, isn't it? You know what meditate means? It's the description of a cow. Cow has two stomachs, I think. They chew up the food, goes into a stomach, and they regurgitate it and chew it again. Goes on back down into that stomach and into the second stomach. That's meditation. You chew on it. You bring it up and chew on it again. That's what it means. You meditate. Okay? Jimmy, you still want to go to Subway afterwards? Okay? Meditate. Number four, and we'll wrap it up. Doesn't do you any good, all the study. You can know this and memorize it, but it doesn't do you any good if you don't apply it. If you don't apply it. You can have a PhD in Bible. You can go from Bible 101 to Bible 10.010 and have a PhD. And if you don't apply it, it doesn't mean a thing. Folks, take this book and apply it to your life. Somebody said this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You see, apply it in your life. Apply it. Oh, what a precious book. There's no other book like it. No other book like it. This is the book that prepares you for eternity. You can study everything else, but nothing will prepare you for eternity like this book. This book. This book. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you, while we were yet sinners, you loved us and Christ died for us. Thank you, Father, that you've given us this book to teach us how to be saved, and teach us how to live right, and teach us how to go to heaven. Lord, to teach us how to have a good life here. Now help us to study it and to meditate on it and to apply it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.